Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, this is we've done this class a couple of years. I'm not sure if any of you have been in the previous years, but I have found this to be I personally love this. Just going through the Maaser before Rosh Hashanah, picking out key phrases and themes and concepts which run through the Maaser, because as we wrote in the blurb to this class, really the themes, the way that Chazal wanted us to look at Rosh Hashanah, it's not like hidden. They didn't bury it in a Gemara somewhere and then not tell us about it. It's all in the Maaser, the words that we say, the yearnings that the Jew has on Rosh Hashanah, all express what it is that Chazal wants us to experience on this day. And so actually going through the Maaser is one of the greatest ways to actually prepare for the day. And that's what we'll do. So it's not going to be an elaborate shiur that's going to we're literally going to go through different highlights, and we're going to talk about them, and you can underline them in your Maaser if you'd like. I hope you will. And you'll find that they will hopefully be, as you actually have the time to, or the chance to go through on Rosh Hashanah, the Maaser, it will stand out in your mind that which it is that we're doing. Okay, so where we want to start, let's get right into it. We're going to start with the Shemona Esrei on page 63. This is actually the Maar Shemona Esrei. Rosh Hashanah, like every other day of the year, with the exception of Shabbos, the Shemona Esrei for Rosh Hashanah is the same throughout the Yontif. Maariv, Shacharis, Mincha, that Shemona Esrei is the same. Musaf is a little bit different, but even the basics of Musaf is exactly the same. So this is the Shemona Esrei that we're going to be saying throughout. So what I want to do is start with the Shemona Esrei. That's really where we'll find the greatest differences and unique aspect of Rosh Hashanah. We'll talk on some of the special tefillahs that we say in Rosh Hashanah as well. The theme which we are going to see that runs through Rosh Hashanah over and over again is the concept of sovereignty, the concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being a king, being the Melech, and us subjugating ourselves to that reign. And what we're going to see over and over again is not just us, but a world view. That on Rosh Hashanah we stand as Jews, yearning, praying, hoping to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, recognized as the sovereign, as the king of the world, as a creator. And it's going to go beyond ourselves, and we're going to see that theme throughout. So let's start, let's get right into the Maaser. On page 62, so we start the first bracha. Of course, the first insertion that we find on Rosh Hashanah that's unique is the Zachreinu L'chaim, which we're familiar with. Zachreinu L'chaim, Melech Chofetz B'chaim. Remember us for life, O King, the King Chofetz B'chaim, who desires life. The Kaseinu B'sefer HaChaim, and write us, inscribe us in the Book of Life, L'ma'an Cha, Elokim Chayim, for your sake. And there are 2 points in this tefillah that I just want to point out as we begin. Number one is the phrase, Melech Chofetz B'chaim. You are a king who is a Chofetz B'chaim. Chofetz is a beautiful word, who desires life. And we acknowledge in this tefillah, in the beginning of our Shemona Esrei, you, Hashem, desire life. You're not a king who's looking to punish us, not a king who's looking to take away our life. Even though, in the sense that we say our whole life is being lived, and the Jewish perspective on life is that every moment of our life is really preparing for, I don't want to say death, but the next world.
Right.
That's the way we live our life. We live our life not for the here, not for the now. We are constantly, every moment of our life, thinking, is this moment preparing me for the next world or not? If it is, then I'm doing the right thing. And if it's not, then maybe I'm not doing the right thing. We have that perspective of everything in preparation for eternity. This is the world of preparation. And yet we say, but I need time here in order to be able to do that. My time is cut short. I have less time to prepare. And we say, you're a Melech Chofetz B'chaim. You gave us this gift. You created us. You want us to have life. So write us in for life. And then we conclude with the phrase, L'ma'an Cha Elokim Chayim. For whose sake are we then pleading with you, who desires us to have life, to give us life? Not for our sake. L'man cho, for your sake. Give us life so that we can be here, and we can then continue to be the type of people who bring glory to you while we're in this life. And that little phrase, L'man cho Elokim chayim, for your sake, give me life, is literally like the banner that the Jew walks around with all of his life, saying, give me life, God, not for me, for you. And if a Jew can stand on Rosh Hashanah and say, my life, you, God, benefit from my life, I bring more godliness into this world. I bring more kiddush shem shemayim, more sanctification of your name through the life that I live, through the way that I speak, the Torah that I learn, the mitzvahs that I fulfill, the way that I'm raising my family. It's for you! What greater argument do we have on Rosh Hashanah as we proclaim Hashem King other than saying, I need life, but not for me. I'm doing this for you. And this is really what, it's a beautiful tefillah. It starts right in the beginning of Shemona. It says, Achreinu l'chaim, remember us for life, you who desires life, but do it for your sake, because it's for yourself that we really desire it. Okay, flipping the page. Page 64 through 66. So if you look at the first phrase after the Mechayim Eisim Bracha, three couple lines in, there's a little header that says, Holiness of God's Name, the Kiddusha Shashem. That first phrase is familiar to all of us from the regular Shemona Esrei. Atah Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh uktoshim v'chol yom yahaluluchos sala. That's a phrase that's in the regular Shemona Esrei. And the regular Shemona Esrei, that then goes right to the conclusion of the Bracha, which is on the bottom of page 66. Baruch Atah Hashem, and during the regular year it's Hakel HaKadosh. And on Rosh Hashanah, during the 10 days, we add the word HaMelech HaKadosh. We change from the Holy God to the Holy King. In between, you note that there are five paragraphs which are unique to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. These are the only times that we say these paragraphs. In the bracha of the sanctity of Hashem's name, we add these phrases. And this will be in every single Shemona Esrei that we say, in which this bracha is an elongated bracha. And it goes through these. He's in upstairs. Upstairs in the kollel. Sorry. So, because of its significance, let's go through a few of the key phrases within each one of the paragraphs that we're adding specifically on Rosh Hashanah. The first paragraph, Uvechein Tein Pachtecha, starts in, So too, Hashem, instill your awe upon all of your works. So we open this bracha. This is the unique aspect now of the Shemona Esrei Rosh Hashanah. And what's the first thing that we ask for? Look at these first couple of phrases. Instill your awe on all of your works. Ve'emascha al kol ma shebarasa. And your dread, the fear of you, upon all that you have created. Ve'yiru'ucha kol ha-ma'asim. Let all your works revere you. Ve'yishtachavu lefanecha kol ha-biruyim. And all things created should bow down before you. What's the theme? Now let me take it. That's in English we would say, let the whole world be in fear of you, let the whole world be in awe of you. And what's the first thing that jumps out on at us as we're sitting here as Jews on Rosh Hashanah, on this holy day, as we're standing in shul, and what jumps out at us in this first couple of phrases that we say?
Isn't fear have to do with punishment?
Okay, before that, that's a fair point. What does it have to do with being Jewish? These first couple of phrases. Instill your awe upon all of your works, your dread upon all that you have created. Let all works revere you and all creatures prostrate themselves before you. Okay, they're both picking up with that. We'll get to that. Okay, hold on. But who are we talking to?
Everyone.
This is not a Jewish line. This is not a line that says, we are your chosen people, and therefore we pray to you on Rosh Hashanah as the only people who recognize that it's all about us. This opening line is about us as the only ones who recognize you now, and what are we yearning for? What are we praying for? We're praying for the whole world to recognize you. And this really captures the entire theme of the day, which we're going to see over and over again. One of the things that we're saying on Rosh Hashanah is, you are a king and you are a creator. And as such, the world will not be a perfected place until everyone else recognizes that. We might be the ones who are going to lead that charge. We might have the task of bringing that to everyone. But the end goal is that really you should be for everyone. And that the entire world should recognize, should revere, should be in awe. Now, this is not fire. Now, you mentioned the idea of fire and brimstone. There's a concept of awe that we use here. Instill your awe upon all of your works and revering you. Now, those concepts are in the sense of when we talk about the fear of heaven that we should have, there are two levels. The first, the lower of the two levels is just fear of punishment. That I'm afraid, the reason why I do what I do and behave in the way that I do is because I'm simply afraid that I'm going to be punished. That's a lower level of fear. We should all get there. That's a high level, but it's the lower of the two. The higher level of fear is not a fear because I'm going to be punished. It's a fear because I'm in the presence of such greatness that I tremble because I can't believe in whose presence I stand. Now that's a fear which in the human realm we rarely have, but if you've spoken to people who have met with the president, and the president of the United States is not even compared to the kings of old, but if you've spoken with someone who has had a chance to have an audience with the president, they'll speak about, like, it's hard to catch your tongue, because just the scenario, you're in the White House and all the Secret Service around, and the president of the United States, and you're not afraid he's going to punish you. You're just in awe of what it is that you're dealing with. If you have accounts of people who used to stand before kings, that's an even greater type of fear. And what we're looking for here is not just a fire and brimstone if you're going to be punished, but we should be in awe of your greatness. We should be in awe. But we don't only pray for ourselves. Here we're praying, let the world see, as we open up this paragraph, and they should all be in awe. They should all revere you and prostrate themselves before you. And this is a classic theme, as I mentioned, of getting the whole world involved. And the very next phrase, which I would underline, this is one of my favorite phrases. And I'm going to say that a lot tonight, I know right away. But the first time I'll say it, you can get away with it. This is going to be my favorite phrase of the entire Machzor. You should know, for your Shabbos, for your Yom Tov tables, one of the things that I love to do, and I invite you to do it at your tables as well, is I like to have everybody pull out their Machzor and share their favorite line from the Machzor. Because everybody, there are different things which talk to different people, and it's a great thing to do around your Yom Tov table. It really creates a great conversation around the table. People will say, like, this line always means, and there's so much here, people will share a lot. So I could do it. I'm going to do it for about an hour straight, my favorite lines, but these are all my favorite lines. But Yeyasu Chulam Aguda Achas. And Aguda is a bundle, literally. And here we yearn, after praying that the awe and the reverence should be instilled upon all of creations, let them all become a single society. What a world. What a world where the entire world is a single society. Everyone's still different, different nations, but a single functioning society. Just like a single functioning family or business is totally different than what we like to classify as our dysfunctional families, where everyone's going the wrong way, no one's working together. Everyone works together. Everyone's focused on the same goal. They see the same vision. Can you imagine the whole world? 100%. And this is the tefillah. Beautiful phrase. Ve'yosu chulam aguda achas. Let all of them come and become that single aguda, that single bundle all together. La'asos ritzoncho b'leivav shalem. All fulfilling your will with a complete and whole heart. It's a beautiful tefillah. Ve'yosu chulam aguda achas. How much do we yearn to fulfill this in a single shul? We should all be one unified goal trying to fulfill your will. How about in one community, just a Jewish community? Can you imagine the whole world being able to do that, what we'd accomplish? It's beautiful tefillah. Okay, moving on. Bottom of page 64. Then we go to the next paragraph. Tein kavod. Then we pray for honor, and now we move into us as Jews. We started off with the first paragraph as a very open for the whole world to see your greatness and your glory. And then we say, V'chein ten kavod Hashem la'amecha. Give us glory. Why do we need glory? Why do we need honor? Well, because we're the ones who are charged with the task of bringing that to everybody else. The more degraded we are in the eyes of the world, the less successful we are going to be in fulfilling this first paragraph that we're praying for. So then we pray, give us the tools that we need, give us the strength, give us the honor and the cover to be able to do so. Now look at the next three phrases, three beautiful phrases. Tihila l'reyecha, praise to those who revere you. V'sikva tova l'dorshecha, good hope to those who seek you. U'pischon peh l'amiyacha l'imloch, an eloquent speech to those who hope to you. Now what I want to point out is the way that we describe our relationship with Hashem. If I were making up the Machzor, and I were saying, dear God, please grant us, your nation, the tool of kavod and honor to fulfill your mission, what is it that we do that we are asking this for? I would say it's because we fulfill your will. We keep the mitzvos, we learn your Torah. You gave us tzivuyim, we did them. And that's not the three ways that we describe what we have as a relationship with Hashem, which is why we're asking for it. What are the three things that we describe why we need this honor? We revere Hashem. We are Doresh, we seek him, and we're Miachalin Lach. We are full of hope for him. And the Maaser here talks deep to the Jewish soul, saying, when we pray for our own honor, what relationship do we have with Hashem that we're asking for? It's because we revere you, we seek you out, and we place our hope in you. And it's with those three tools that we have, those three concepts, that we then come to you and say, we need your help. We don't just say, we fulfill your commandments and nobody else does. We revere you. We seek you out. And we are the ones who place our hope in you. And therefore, please give us the kavod, the honor that we need in order to be able to accomplish that which we have to do. Next paragraph, top of 66. So then we move on to that the righteous should see and be glad. And at the end of this paragraph, we get into the concept of evil and wickedness in the world. And the way that we pray for its end, the Ola Sa Tikpats Piha. Iniquity will close its mouth. The Chol HaRisha Kula Ke'oshon Tichle. And all wickedness will evaporate like smoke. When you will remove evil's dominion from the earth. Evil exists in the world. We see it, we live it. We just experienced the 10th anniversary of 9/11. We see it every day in Eretz Yisrael. There are those who seek to destroy us. There are those who seek to deny the concept of God and to create all sorts of havoc into the world. And we pray that it should be ended. And how do we pray? How does a Jew pray that that should be ended? The phraseology of Chazal and the Machzor, that its iniquity should close its mouth, tikpats piha, and wickedness will evaporate like smoke. To evaporate like smoke creates a certain image. What's the image when you see smoke and then evaporating like smoke?
It's not real.
There's nothing there. It's not real. Yet it looks real. When you go up to the cloud, right, when children fly in an airplane for the first time, when they're old enough to look outside and see what's going on, and you're about to hit the cloud, it's like, we're going to crash! Right? And you go right through it. You say, where'd it go? Because when looking at it, it is real, but there's nothing there. You just go right through it. Now, we experience wickedness. We experience pain. We experience loss. Blood runs through the street throughout Jewish history because of that wickedness. It's not something that I can say, well, it looks like it's there, but it's not really there. Don't worry about it. It is. But when Hashem's presence will reveal itself in the same way as when the sun, when there's a fog or a mist in the morning and you see all this cloud, you can't see straight. And then the sun rises and that bright sunlight. What happens to the mist? Just disappears. What made that disappear? Well, when the presence of the sun comes out and the rays are bright, then all of a sudden that which was there a minute ago, it dissipates like smoke, like it wasn't ever there before. And we yearn when Hashem, when you reveal yourself, when that presence comes out, and the world will recognize, not just us, the world will recognize that which is going on, then wickedness will evaporate like smoke. And that's the imagery that Chazal wants us to have. It will simply disappear when you remove the Memshelas Zadon Min Ha'aretz. Memshelas is a dominion. There are evil's domination. The world is, in a sense, dominated by evil. That's the way that it is right now. Until God's presence will be revealed and returned to its place, there is a dominion that we suffer from that's an evil dominion. And when that will be removed, then, like smoke, everything will disappear. Which moves us right into the next paragraph. And where do we yearn for that to happen? So the next paragraph, when we yearn, then you, Hashem, will reign alone over all your works. Once again, having nothing to do with us specifically as Jews, but you reigning over all, kol ma'asecha. And then we bring it back to Yerushalayim. Bahar Tzion mishkan kivodecha, on Har Tzion, which is the dwelling, the resting place of your glory, uYerushalayim your kodshecha, and in Yerushalayim your holy city. And we cannot separate, and Chazal are very careful not to separate. As we sit there on Rosh Hashanah and we yearn for the Malchus of Hashem, for the kingship of Hashem to be revealed, there's a recognition of the fact that the reason why it's not revealed right now is because we've been kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, we've been exiled. And the place that we're praying for this for is in Atlanta, Georgia, or anywhere else in the world that we may be. Even in Eretz Yisrael now, where they're praying for that, because the Beit HaMikdash doesn't stand, we're still considered in Golis. And as Chazal tells us, when Klal Yisrael went into Galus, when the Jewish people were exiled, the Shekhinah was nigla, was higla with them. The Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, was sent into exile with them. The Divine Presence might still be stronger in Yerushalayim, might still be stronger in the place of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not like it was. The miracles that existed in the times of the first Beis HaMikdash, they're not there anymore. Because we're in Galus, he's in Galus. And there's a yearning, as on this day, we yearn for the entire world to see your kingship restored. You can't separate that from where Chazal put it back, and that should be in Yerushalayim, it should be in the Mishkan, Kivodecha, it should be in the place, the dwelling of your holy place. Yimloch Hashem li'olom elokayach Tzion. The God of Tzion should be returned so that we can return back to Eretz Yisrael, the place where your presence will be most intensely revered. Okay, these paragraphs, we're going to say them over and over again. We're going to say them 7 times on the first day of over the first 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. We're going to say them on Yom Kippur another 5 times. This is the addition that's unique to both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it's worth just going through. There's beautiful phrases again within these tefillahs, and worth spending the time going over. Okay, let's flip to page 70, going through our Machzor to my next favorite phrase in the Machzor. Top of page 70 is the Alev Yovo. That's standard to all Yom Tovim. And in the bottom of the page on 70 is the bracha for the specific day of Rosh Hashanah. And the first half of that paragraph again describes what it is that we're yearning for. Elokeinu v'elokeinu, let's go through the first 4 lines. Elokeinu v'elokeinu v'oseinu, we say, God and God of our fathers, Moloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. That one phrase summarizes again, Moloch al kol ha'olam, reign over the entire world. Kol ha'olam kulo, in its entirety, b'chvodecha, in your glory. V'hinasei al kol ha'aretz b'karecha, and be exalted over the all of the world in your splendor. V'hoifa b'hadar ge'on uzecha, reveal yourself in the majestic grandeur of your strength over all the dwellers of your inhabited world. And again, this phrase is a similar phrase of what we were discussing in the very first paragraph. It's a yearning of the Jew to Hashem. Nothing to do with being a Jew. There's nothing in these phrases that say, like we say, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos. What do we say over and over and over again? Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. You chose us, Atov Chartanu Mikol Amim. We've been chosen from all of the nations. You gave us the Torah. You took us out of Mitzrayim. Those are Yom Tovim, which celebrates the unique relationship that we have. And Rosh Hashanah Chazal over and over and over again say, this is bigger than just Klal Yisrael. We are the ones bringing it out, but our yearning is so much larger. Our yearning is Moloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. Hoifa, reveal yourself in all of your splendor over everyone. And then this is my next favorite phrase right here. V'yeda kol pa'ul ki ato fa'alto. If you had to underline a phrase in this paragraph, this would be the phrase to underline. V'yovin v'yeda kol pa'ul ki ato fa'alto. Let all created things, let everything that has been made know that you are its maker. V'yovin kol yitzur ki ato yitzarto. And let everything that has been molded understand that you are the one that molded it. V'yoymar kol asher nishamo be'apo. And let every living thing that has breath in its nostrils say, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech Umalchuso Bakol Mashallah. Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, is king, and his reign is supreme everywhere. And it's a glorious phrase in which we say, let every single living being recognize you as its maker. And what should they say? Then they tie it back in, and they should say, you, Hashem, God of the Jews, the ones who have recognized you, the ones who have been suffering all of these generations, all of these millennia, because of you, because the world has hated you and the world has tried to annihilate us because they don't want you in the world. Let every single creature, every single thing that has a breath in its nostril say, your king and the God of the Jews shall reign supreme over everything. And it's that confluence of us yearning for the whole world and yet having the world recognize that we've been the torchbearers all these years, and that they should say, Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech, let God the Hashem, the God of the Jews, be the king, umalchuso b'kol mashallah.
How do you translate mashallah?
Mashallah would be his rule.
Umalchuso, over all rule?
Over Yeah, rule or rules over everything. Umalchuso v'kol mashallah. His kingship rules over everything. That's how our scroll translates it. So if they translate that way, it's got to be right. Is that comforting?
No.
Okay, that's basically the standard Shmona Esrei. Those are the with the, some additionals. There are obviously other phrases in there, but without going through the entire Machzor, those are the ones that I would just highlight, just to give a sense of the basic Shmona Esrei of Maariv, of Shacharis, and of Mincha. And this is of Musaf as well. Musaf is going to add things, but everything that we just did is going to be contained in Musaf as well. If you spent the time and actually underlined and made notes, you could check it out yourselves, but you'll see you could always flip back to this particular page of the Shmona Esrei to go through it, and then you just flip back afterwards, both by most of the name of the Shmona Esrei, but the Shmona Esrei is standard. Okay, let's go to some of the things that we'll say during the daytime. Yeah, sure.
With the first five paragraphs you talked about, is it considered part of Kedusha?
It is. It's after Kedusha. In other words, when we in the regular weekday Shemona Esrei, after Kedusha is the bracha of Atah Kadosh V'Shem Kadosh, which is the third of the opening three, which is said after Kedusha. So that's where this is also. It's right after Kedusha.
Do you stand for Kedusha? Do you stand for this?
Yeah, well, this is.
All five paragraphs?
If you're talking about standing for. No, you wouldn't have to. This would be considered part of Chazar Sashas as far as standing is. Yes. Okay, if you'll flip to page 329. So 329 in your master, so this is now in Shacharis. The way that Shacharis works is after our silent Shmona Esrei, the Chazan then begins his repetition of the Shmona Esrei. And inserted within his Shmona Esrei are several piyutim, certain special tefillos that are added, which you'll remember as you go through. So I just want to make a comment or two on one of them, which is one that we say much fewer on Rosh Hashanah than we do on Yom Kippur. This one on page 328, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, Hashem reigns in the present tense, Hashem has reigned in the past tense, and Yimloch, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, Hashem shall reign in the future tense. That phrase, which you'll note here in the way that the piyut is set up, that's the refrain, which we say several times, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed. And then we have all of these phrases following the Aleph phase. Three Alephs, Adire, Ayuma, Yadiru, V'kol, Jews with a powerful fear of God call powerfully aloud, and then the congregation says, Hashem Melech, then the Chazan will say the Beis, and then the congregation says, Hashem Melech, the Gimel, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, and then we say all together, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed. So I just want to point out that phrase, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, there is no pasuk in Tanakh that says that. This is actually a combination of three different psukim. There's a pasuk in Tanakh that says Hashem Melech, there's a pasuk that says Hashem Melech, and there's a pasuk elsewhere that says Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed in Shmoth. And we combine Chazal in compiling the Machzor and elsewhere in our tefillahs, combine those three separate phrases into this one phrase, which has become a common refrain throughout our Siddur of Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Voed, because they combine those three ideas, because those speak volumes. Hashem has reigned, Hashem is reigning, and Hashem will reign speaks to the infinite, constant idea of Hashem's kingship over the world, which is a perfect theme for Rosh Hashanah, which is why that's here. What I want to point out is, if you look at the English side, the poetic aspect of the Hebrew is will be well beyond the scope of this little class to try to work through those words on the Hebrew side, but if you just look on the English side as to what it is that we're saying, you'll find the following theme, starting with the Aleph, the Emes Yoreim on the left-hand side. Jews with a powerful fear of God call powerfully aloud, and we say, Hashem reigns, Hashem Moloch. The next phrase, the angels created from flashing fire bless aloud, we say the next phrase of Hashem Moloch, Hashem has reigned. And then, Gimel, the spiritually mighty, referring to the Jews, call strongly aloud, Hashem shall reign. So he went from a phrase describing the Jews calling out in praise, and then we went to a phrase describing how the angels call out in praise, and we went back to how the Jews call out in praise. And then the next refrain in Dalet, the flaming fiery angels speak aloud, and what do they say? Hashem reigns. Resounding Jewish companies laud aloud, Hashem has reigned. And you see what the way the piyut is set up is we go back and forth from how the angels praise Hashem with the phrase of Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, to the way that we do. And it's a back and forth. It's a very powerful message. The intertwining of the way that the angels praise and the way that we praise, and that it's the same praise. We just mix them up in terms of the order that we do, but we're all saying the same things. What are we saying? Shemelech, Shemolech, Hashem Yumloch, Yolam Boed. And the way that we put that together is significant. Angels, of course, are as eternal as God wants them to be, but they don't have the lifespan that we do. They have a vision of the world different than we do. Whatever they are, which I don't really know anything about them, but they're certainly not like us. And they have a mission, they have a clarity of whatever that mission is. And there's a certain power that Chazal see in the mission of the Jew to be able to use the same praise that the angels do. That's what Kedusha is all about. The essence of Kedusha, as we say, Nekadesh Hashem Cha Ba'olam, let your name be sanctified in this world, Kishem Shemakdi Shimoso Bishmei Marom, in the same way that it is sanctified in the upper realms of heaven, where what happens up there, where the Malachim Vikara Zel Zev Yomar, that the Malachim there call to each other and say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's what the angels say. And Kedusha is set up that we down here pray and yearn that your name should be sanctified by us down here in the same way that it's sanctified by the angels up in heaven. And we all then call out, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. That's why it's one of the more significant prayers of our daily, as well as weekly, as well as Shabbos and Yontif, Rosh Hashanah Tefillah, because what it's saying is that we want to call with the same praise as the angels. What rights do we have, born of flesh and blood, with all of our foibles and all of our mistakes and all of our thoughts? And we say, no, that's what God wanted. He wanted a Jewish nation in this world with all of their issues to be able to say, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, holy, 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 in the same way that the angels do. And this little piyut, look at how it intertwines the two, phrase by phrase. It's a competition, sort of, but not really, in the sense of, look at what we're accomplishing, look at what we're trying to accomplish, that we down here, with our combination of animal body and soul, and we're going to praise you just like they do up in heaven, where they don't have to deal with that animal part of their body. They're just soul. They're just the spiritual. And we just back and forth. It goes, you know, the lines from one to another, being able to say, Hashem Melech, Hashem Molech, Hashem Yimloch, Yom Ved. And many of the Piyutim on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have this dialogue, so to speak, between the Jews and the angels. Sometimes we, in terms of the back and forth of we praise and they praise. And one of the piyutim on Yom Kippur is set up in the same way in which it's said almost the opposite way, in which the piyut says, and the angels call out with this glorious praise and that glorious praise. And God says, I don't want that. I want to hear it from them. I want to hear it from my creations of flesh and blood who have to struggle with everything, deal with all their issues. That's who I want to hear it from. And this piyut, to be able to say, Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch, that we can say that on Rosh Hashanah, in the same way that they do up in Shemayim, is a powerful tefillah. That's why it's here. I just wanted to point that out, to be able to stress that and to feel that as we go through that on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, speaking of Kedusha, that's on page 332, but that's again standard. But if you just want to, if you've never paid attention to Kedusha, which most of us usually don't, if you actually read the English, right, once we just said this, look at the English in Kedusha on page 333. Starting from the words Nekadesh on the English side, we shall sanctify your name in this world just as they sanctify it in heaven above, as it is written by your prophet. And one angel will call to another and say, holy, holy, holy is Hashem, Master. That's what we're saying. We're trying to recreate that which is going on in the heavens down here with us human beings. And that's why it's such a powerful, powerful tefillah. Okay. Okay, so again, the rest of the Shemoneh Esrei is the same, which we have done. I'm not going to repeat my favorite phrases in the Shemoneh Esrei. I already did that once. Let's move to page 432. Let's go to Shofar Blow. I'm moving too quickly, but I just want to try to cover as much ground and give you just a sense of what the day is like. 432. This is now finished with laning. We're getting ready for Shofar Blowing.
What's
Ne'ilah? Ne'ilah, no. Give me a little bit more time. We'll get there. Yom Kippur is next week, Mr. Hashem. We'll do Yom Kippur. Okay, this paragraph on page 432 is a Tehillim from Perek Mem Zayin. It's said seven times before we blow shofar. And I just want to point out one or two phrases in this Perek of Tehillim as it relates to the theme of the day and preparing for the shofar blowing.
Why was it seven times?
Oh, that's deep, well beyond what I can explain. I'm sure it says something in the notes here. I don't know why. I don't know. I would say it seven times. There's a concept which repeats itself. And at the end of Yom Ne'ilah, we say certain phrases three times, and Hashem Ho'olam seven times. Seven is certainly a number which has a significant a place in Jewish thought. And I don't know.
It represents creation.
Yeah,
three
appears a lot, and seven, and yeah. When I finish my study of Kabbalah, maybe we'll go back over it. I'm sure I'll have more to say, but where I am right now, I just don't know. I think it's there just to give the women more time to get into shul, so that it's just stalled a little bit, that everybody can get ready to show. I'm sure there's something else also, but I don't know what it is. I don't know. Okay, but in any case, let's take a look at this this parak of Tehillim a little bit. L'matzech l'vnei Korach mizmor. So for the conductor by the sons of Korach, a song. We're not going to get into the fact that the sons of Korach, who of course has leads a major rebellion in Chumash, and his sons apparently, according to Chazal, all do tshuva and they return. We even have a parak of Tehillim written by the sons of Korach, but we're going to leave that aside for now. Kol ha'amim tikuchaf, all you nations join hands, right? So this makes perfect sense. You think, like, why would Chazal pick such a parak on Rosh Hashanah before shofar blowing? Oh, now that fits with the theme of the day. This is not only about us, this is about kol ha'amim. All of the nations should be able to join hands together. Hariu le'lokim b'kol rina, sound the shofar to Hashem with a cry of joy. Ki Hashem Elyon Nora Melech Gadol al Kol Haaretz. For Hashem is supreme, awesome, a great king over all the earth. Again, you see the theme here of being supreme over the entirety of the earth, not related to any specific people. Yadber Amim Tachtenu Ulu Umim Tachas Ragleinu. He shall lead nations under us and kingdoms beneath our feet. And again, here you have the dichotomy. After we pray that the entire world, all the nations, should recognize you, and then what should happen? They should be led under our feet, under our dominion. We still have a leading role to play. We are the torchbearers. We are the ones who are going to bring that out. We want everyone to recognize it, and then see that the Hashem Elokei Yisrael, that Hashem, the God of the Jewish people, is a Melech. So we throw that in there as well. Yivchar lanu es nachalaseinu es kon Yaakov asher ohev Selah. Alolokim b'tshuva. That's good. This is the part. This is why this is obviously chosen. God has ascended with a blast. Shem b'kol shofar, with the sound of the shofar. Zamru Elokim zameru. Zamru l'malkeinu zameru. Make music for God. Make music. Music for our King. Shamshon Rafal Hirsch, who has a sefer on Tehillim, so he points out here a very interesting thing. Here we're talking about Rosh Hashanah. It's the Yomim Noraim. It's the days of dread, the days of awe. It's the day which we haven't yet gone to, which we're going to say who will live and who will die. It's a significant, it's a solemn day. It's a day we discuss, as we mentioned, the reverence and the awe and the fear, the whole world. It's a day of judgment. And we talk about singing a song to God. Zamru Elokim Zameru. The shofar, which the sounds that we make are the sounds of a cry. Both the shvarim and the trua, whether or not it's the three blasts, both of those, the Gemara says, is because the word trua is rooted in the concept of a cry. And it's the yearning, it's the inner yearning of the soul, but it's a cry. And yet, in the paragraph that we're going to say, seven times before we blow shofar, before our hearts cry through the sound of the shofar, yet we describe, says Rav Hirsch, a song to Hashem. Kol Rina. Rina is not just Rina is not a dirge. The word Rina is a joyful song. The first points out that in the midst of all this, it's a recognition that there's a dance of being the people of Hashem. There's a dance, there's a song, there's a joyous concept of let the world recognize your presence. It's not as the world tends to view God, all fire and brimstone. All in the pagan world of old, of the sacrifices just to appease all the gods, until today that there's this constant concept of a fear. And we're singing. We're singing with joy. On Rosh Hashanah, as we're about to blow the cries of the shofar, the inner yearning of the Jewish soul, and we talk about song to Hashem, because Ivdu es Hashem, the Simchon, there's a concept of a joy of knowing look what we're about to do. We're about to fulfill this mitzvah of shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And the perek of Tehillim that we choose to express that in preparation is one of Zamru Elokim Zameru, Zamru L'Malkeinu Zameru. Why do we sing Ki Melech Kol Ha'aretz Elokim Zamru Maskil? Because God is King of all the earth. Make music, enlightened one. Again, this idea of being the king of the whole world, and yet we're making music, we're singing song, it's a joyous occasion. And there's a joy in Rosh Hashanah in the same way that there's a dread and there's a fear, and there's a joy. Because look at what we're doing. We're recognizing you as king. This is the fulfillment of the entire purpose of creation, and that's what we're yearning and striving towards, to being able to recognize that as such. We're then going to blow the shofar and start Musaf. Oh, let's make one more concept before we get to that. On page 434, there are a series of verses that the Baal Tokeya, the one who's going to blow the shofar, is going to read. One of them has to be my favorite out of all of them. I'll choose one as a favorite. And that would be the fifth on the list. That starts with the phrase, Sos Anochi Alim Rasecha Kimotzei Shalol Rav. I rejoice over your word like one who finds abundant spoils. Like one who stumbles into a treasure. What a joy. Look what I found. To be able to express that which David HaMelech says, I rejoice over your word. When I learn a new halacha, I hear a Dvar Torah, I hear a drasha, I'm able to learn something, and I'm sus. Joy. I just read a letter from the King of Kings speaking to me. B'chol yom kechadosh, like every day, like it's new. And nothing, no one like David HaMelech is able to express the inner feeling of a Jew. Sos anochi alim rasecha. Sos. Soson. A phrase that's so affiliated with a chasna, with a wedding, the joy of a chasna and kala as they leave the chuppah. And David says, Sos anochi alim rasecha. I rejoice over your words like someone who found the great treasure. It's a beautiful phrase. Beautiful, beautiful phrase. Okay, so we got into Musaf. What's been missing from the entire machzor at this point before Musaf? Judgment. It's just not there.
It's all praise.
It's praise, and it's a yearning for your being the king. And it's worth noting that in as much as in our mind, the dread comes from judgment, the dread comes because we know during Musaf we're going to say who will live and who will die. And we know that Chazal tells us there are three books which are opened, the book of the living and the book of the dead. And then we know all that. And yet, when Chazal established the Machzor, what they wanted, the inner yearning of the Jew, the call, the prayer, the words that come out of our mouth, we've focused on one thing and we've taken it from the very beginning of Marv all the way until this point. And that's been nothing other than, you are king, and we yearn for your kingdom to be recognized in the face of the entire world. Not just us, everyone. And when we even ask for life, the very first thing we spoke about this evening, what was the one thing, when we asked for life, why did we ask for life? For you, l'man chalokim chayim, because you are king. And the theme of Rosh Hashanah that runs strongest through the Machzor, Melech. You are the king, and we yearn to see that. And a little bit, to me, this answers the question that I always have, and I've probably mentioned this in every class of Rosh Hashanah that I've given in the shul since I've been here. I find Rosh Hashanah to be the most difficult day of the year. Difficult Yontif, most difficult by far. Because every other day I find it's clear what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Purim is clear, Chanukah is clear, Shabbos we know what to do a little bit, even though we don't pay attention enough to Shabbos like we're supposed to, but we know what the day is about. And Rosh Hashanah is, you're in Shul and Marv, and it's solemn, and it's serious, and then you go home and you have a Yontif meal. And it's Yontif. It's a Yontif meal. You have guests, you have the Simanim, and it's cute, and everybody's like, and then you wake up in the morning and you go to shul and it's real serious again. Shofar blowing and the room is silent and the blast of the shofar, it speaks volumes. And we say out loud, especially here, who will live and who will die? And you like leave shul and it's like, whoa. Now on Yom Kippur, it's great. You leave shul the way and you stay the way the whole way until you crescendo in the Ilah. But what happens in Rosh Hashanah? Then you go home and you're running around setting the table and getting the food ready and the kids are all around, there's a meal, and it's Yontif. I'm like, no, it's serious. No, it's Yontif. It's serious. It's Yontif. And then you got to go back for Mincha. It's serious. And you have another meal at night. And it's just, I just find it very hard to experience a Yontif meal and not feel guilty. Like, no, we're not supposed to be a Yontif. It's like serious. It's Rosh Hashanah. And in fact, I find it very difficult. It is life. But at least on Yom Kippur, for a day, I can deal with Yom Kippur. Today is serious. There's no fun in games. That's just what it is. But Rosh Hashanah is not that way.
It makes it harder than 2 days, huh?
2 days, very hard. It is. It's just. You're right. It is a hard, hard day. And this, I think, really, in a way, addresses it. Chazal did not have us focusing on judgment. They didn't have us focusing on who will live and who will die. We're focused on, you are the king. And I am going to sit here all day and declare, you are the king of the world. It might be a day of judgment, that's true. But my task is to focus on the fact that I'm declaring you to be king. That's my job. That's a lot easier to navigate the whole day. I'm not focused on the sword that's hanging over the back of my head. That's not my job. My job is you're the king. If there's a judgment today, there's a judgment today. But my job is to focus on that aspect. And we just see that so heavily throughout the Machzor. I've mentioned before, and I'll mention again, that when I was in Yeshiva in Israel, I heard this from someone, I don't remember exactly who, that they wrote a little card. And it said the phrase, Kivo HaMelech. The king is coming. You can write it in English, you can write it in Hebrew. Kivo HaMelech. A little place card on a 3x5 index cards. And they would keep it in their machzor. It would stick up, and just they would have it in front of them just the whole day. Kivo HaMelech. King is coming.
Proclaiming Hashem as king, is that for us, or not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem knows he's king.
Right, but in other words,
it's for us to recognize once again.
Correct. If you look at Adon Olam,
right,
there's a phrase there which sums up the answer to your question of Adon Olam Hashem Malach, you were the master of the world who reigned, but only when you finished creating all that you desired, Azai Melech Shimon Nikra, only then will you be called king. Because we're the only ones who can do that. And that's really the unique role that we have. That goes back to the piyut that I was talking about, going back from the angels to the people. The angels can call Hashem king all day long, but there's something lacking in that. God, if he just wanted angels, he would have made angels. Why did he make us? Because he wants to be called king and recognized as king from people who live in this world, who are flesh and blood, who have all of our issues that we have, and we still declare him king, and we're the only ones who can do that.
So why do we only do it on...
So we do it every day, but this is the day of the year. In other words, Rosh Hashanah is the day that we were created. So on the day that we were created is the day Adam Rishon was created on Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
So on the day that the world was brought to its purpose of man's existence and man's ability to do so is the day that we focus on that. Is the day that we focus on that.
I know we focus on it every day, but it's just a matter of, you know, here, why don't we focus on it on other Yom Tovim?
Because the other Yom Tov, I think that's really where it's been. The other Yom Tov, and the focus is the relationship between us being the chosen nation to fulfill His will, and the each Yom Tov has a different. This is the focus of you're the king.
But ultimately, that's what it's all about.
This day for sure, and I mean, that's what you see. Go through the whole Machzor. That's what you just see over and over.
It's not really the nation. We would have, one person will be a nation, but on Rosh Hashanah, one person can declare the king. So the other, like. Rosh Hashanah is more individualized, and I think the other Yom Tovim are more as a collective group, as a nation of Jews, as opposed to an individual.
But there is very little about us as a nation. That's not. It just hasn't been the focus. I mean, we read through the Master together.
Adam and not even Chava, and Adam could still have declared him as king. But we couldn't have been Am Yisrael as one person.
Unless we had Chava.
Right.
And a group.
Right.
And it's a philosophically challenging concept to say that there actually is something that God needs from us.
That's what I'm trying to understand.
It's a difficult concept, and to an extent, that's the way that it is. The reason why it's philosophically challenging is because the words God needs those ever can't be said together. But that's the way that we would say it to express the concept, even though that's not accurate.
But it's a very human way.
We can contribute by calling him king, something that nothing else that he created can do.
It almost gives us a tafkid. Oh, well, it is.
It is, and that is one of them. And that's exactly what's on Rosh Hashanah. So what's the tafkid of Rosh Hashanah? What's the goal? It's to be able to say, I'm going to fulfill the thing that only human beings can do, and that's to declare God king. And no one else can do that. The angels can do that, but we're going to read after piyut, but God says, but I want it from them. I want them in the midst of their physical lives that they live.
Yeah.
And that's and we do find that in Chazal there is something unique that we have, and it is a very philosophically challenging concept, but it goes back to, well, why did you create us anyway? This is why. Because in order for God's presence to be revealed throughout the entirety of the universe, part of that means, not just in the upper spheres, but also from this in-between creature called the human being, that he should also declare you king.
Are you calling human beings only Klal Yisrael, or human beings?
Human beings as a whole. Okay. We have the task to bring that to the world, because when he created Adam and Chava, the rest of the world basically gave it up and didn't want it. So it became ours. But as you see the yearnings throughout the Machzor, we're trying to bring that to everyone. Not to make them all Jews, but to make them all recognize that Hashem is king. And that is a uniquely human concept of flesh and blood. It is one big job, yeah. It's serious. Yeah, serious stuff.
If that's our job, then why aren't we doing it?
What do you mean, why aren't we doing it?
Why, I mean, how much active cure have we done outside of the Jewish...
So in other words, so the Torah says, your job is not to go out and proselytize door to door. Your job is to do what I've asked you to do, and through that, to be that light into the nation, to use a... But in other words, we don't find that Chazal said the task of the Jew is to knock on non-Jewish doors and say, here's a Bible, come study with me. Right. But I'm saying, so, but we just don't find that it's not a proselytizing nation, even though the way that it's been set up is when we do that which we need to do, the nations will see that and say, who's their God? And that will bring that to the world. But it's not, and we don't find in Chazal the idea of ever going out and doing that. We do it through fulfilling that which Hashem told us.
And that's true, unfortunately, on the negative
side. 100%.
Right. Call us out on it big time and very quickly.
Because of the fact that everybody recognizes really that that's what we're claiming to be. We're claiming to be God's chosen people. We're claiming to be the ones who are going to bring to the world that light. And they love pointing out when we fail. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
And then you have all these guilty folks that are sitting there saying, you know, especially with this vote coming up. Like, you know, we believe in this, that Israel is the chosen nation and they're deserving of that land.
Right.
So maybe we're getting some a little bit.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Okay, so right now we're up to Musaf, and at Musaf we find now for the first time some references to the concept of judgment. The concept of judgment makes itself into Musaf. It makes it much more into Chazaras Hashat, where we've added later paragraphs, Unusana Toka, for example, which is the heaviest of all of it, was added after the Machzor was established by Chazal, as you read in the notes in the bottom. That was a much later addition. But we'll read through the basics of Chazal quickly, and we'll finish up hopefully shortly, but give you a little bit of things in Musaf to chew on as well. So Musaf starts on page 448, it's on the first day. You will note, again, I just want to point this out, that on page 450, is the exact same five paragraphs again, just like we did through Shacharis. It's all there once again. And then we get to Atov HaKartanus, even though that's the focus, as we've mentioned, on Yontiv, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, about how we were the chosen nation. It does make its way into the Rosh Hashanah Machzor, but it is clearly not as big a focus as it is on the other days. Okay, let us move to page 454.
So is the next paragraph moving to Nesach Ha'inu? Is that where we start with the judgment concept?
No, that's actually standard from Yontif. This is still, in other words, the Atov HaKartanu on the bottom of page 450, Vatitei Lanu on 452, the entire page 452 to the bottom is standard Yontif. Every Musaf on Yontif has this. It's a prayer that says, why are we standing here in Atlanta? Oh, it's because of our sins that we've been exiled, and a yearning to repent and return back to Yerushalayim, where we'll bring the right karbanos. But that's standard, not unique to Rosh Hashanah. Where we get unique to Rosh Hashanah begins on page 454. And I want to give just a brief overview of what's going on for those who are not as familiar, just to recognize what happens in Musaf. Musaf, if you look on page 454, there's a header in the middle of the page called Malchios, kingship, which lasts for two pages until page 459, where there's a header in the middle of the page called Zichronos, remembrance, which goes for two pages until page 462, and then you have Shofros, Shofar Blast, which also goes for two pages, and then you get the regular conclusion of Shemona Esrei. That's the focus of Musaf, those three aspects, Malchios, Zichronos, Shofros, in which we declare Hashem King, that we're familiar with already. Then we go through Zichronos, that you remember everything, And then we go through Shofros. Each one of those three paragraphs, those three sections, has an opening tefillah, so to speak, a prayer regarding those three concepts of Malchios, remembrance, kingship, remembrance, and Shofar. And then there are 10 psukim, 10 verses, which are quoted in each section, three from the Torah, three from the Navi, three from the Ksuvim, and then again another one from back from the Torah to round out the 10 psukim. That's the structure of Musaf. And it's in this section, these three sections, where we begin to bring about the concept of judgment. Malchios, the first of the three sections, is kingship. And what you will note is the focus of these first two paragraphs is Aleinu, which we're familiar with. So you'll say, well, that's funny. Why did we add into the holiest day of the year, Rosh Hashanah, Aleinu, and the second paragraph of Aleinu, we say that every day? And the answer to that is? Just the opposite. It's actually the exact opposite.
It's a national anthem.
It's actually the exact opposite. Because it's such a powerful tefillah that we say on Rosh Hashanah, Chazal say we really need to be saying this every day. So they took that which was established in Rosh Hashanah and added it to our daily davening.
It's like an afterthought.
And then it has the opposite effect. And then what happens is, unfortunately, because it becomes so familiar and we know it by heart, so whoever pays attention to it, it is such a powerful tefillah that it originated in the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. When Chazal in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, say Malchios, say kingship, what's kingship? It's this paragraph. And it was so powerful that the Chazal said, we have to say this every day. Not only every day, we say it three times every day, at the end of Shachar, at the end of Mincha, at the end of Musaf. So what is Aleinu all about? So most people don't actually know because they're so familiar, we just know it by heart, it rattles off the tongue, who knows what's in there? Well, let's find out. Aleinu l'shabech l'adonai kol, it's our duty. It's upon us, Aleinu l'shabech, it is upon us to praise Adon HaKol, the Master of all, L'oseis gedulo l'yotzer b'reishis, to ascribe greatness to He who formed, was a yotzer b'reishis of all of creation from the beginning. And then we say, Shelo asanu kigayei ha'aretzos, in the beginning we say, it's upon us to praise, and we praise Him for what? You didn't make us like everybody else. We're different. We're unique. We're special. Shelo asanu kigayei ha'aretzos. You didn't make us like everybody else. Velo samanu kemishpachos ha'adamah. Nor did you place us like all of the other families of the earth. You didn't give our chelek like them. Shelo sam chelkenu kemagolene kechol amonam. Because they pray to hevel v'rik. They pray to nothingness. They bow down and prostrate themselves to things which are meaningless. And we, anachnu, korimu mishtachavim, have the ability to pray, to prostrate ourselves and give thanks to the King of Kings who established the world. And we conclude this paragraph. So the paragraph in summary is a praise of Hashem, a praise that you didn't make us like everybody else, that we have the ability to bow down and prostrate ourselves before you. And we conclude with a pasuk from the Chumash, V'yedata hayom v'hashivos halivovecha. Let it be known today and placed in our hearts, Ki Hashem Hu HaElokim. Now this is a phrase which you're familiar with from the Elah. We borrow from this pasuk, Hashem Hu HaElokim. Hashem Hu HaElokim. You, Hashem, are God. You are the only God. It's borrowed from this pasuk in the Chumash, Ki Hashem Hu HaElokim b'shamayim mima'al v'yal aretz mitachas, and the heavens above, the earth below. Then if there's one phrase to underline, Ein Od. There is none other. There is nothing other. There is nothing other than you. And we conclude this paragraph of Aleinu, the opening paragraph, in which we say, thank you for making us yours. Thank you for creating us where we understand, we know, we've been given this privilege of thanking you. You didn't make us like everybody else. And we say, Hashem, Hu HaElokim, you are the God, Ein Od. There is nothing else. For a Jew to be able to say on Rosh Hashanah, Ein Od, to focus for an extra second before saying that phrase on Rosh Hashanah Musaf, Ein Od, there is nothing else. Al kein nekaveh lecha, therefore we place our hope. We place our hope in you. And here we get back into the theme of Rosh Hashanah. What do we hope for? Liros mehera b'siferes uzecha, that we see you in your splendor. L'ha'avr gelula min ha'aretz, to remove all the idolatry from the earth, to destroy all of that. And then the next phrase to underline would be L'sakein olam b'malchus shakai. L'sakein olam, to fix the world with your kingship, with your sovereignty. Now, this phrase is significant in my mind for two things which I'll share with you. Number one, because it says right now the world is broken. If I'm praying for it to be fixed, if I'm praying for it to be complete, to be perfected, it's a recognition that right now it's imperfect. The recognition that says, God, your presence is in exile. Your people are in exile. Look at what's going on in the world. Look at the pain. Look at the suffering. Look at the things which are taking place. The fact that people don't recognize you. It's broke. Fix it. Perfect it. Now, the second reason is very significant is because there's two parts to this phrase. L'sakein olam, to perfect your world. B'malchus shakai, with your kingship. This phrase has been borrowed by many, but they only take the first half of the phrase. Tikkun olam is a phrase which is well known to Jews all over the world. To fix the world. But Chazal, yes, you need to fix the world, but it's to fix the world with your presence. You can't separate that we're not just yearning to fix the world, as if we know what the world will, when it's fixed, will look like. We're fixing the world with your presence. We want your sovereignty to be recognized, and that will fix the world, and we recognize that it's broken. The Maharal points out one of the first steps of yearning for the Geula, of yearning for the redemption, is recognizing that we need it. If I think, oh, it's fine, life is good. What's the problem? Look at the freedom we have in America. We can do what we need to do. Everything is great. Well, you can't be yearning for redemption until you recognize that it's broken right now. And this tefillah captures all of that. L'sakein olam b'malchus shakai. Fix it. Perfect it. It's not right now. It needs to be perfected. And with your presence. Chol b'nei vasar yikru v'shmecha. Let all humankind call in your name. L'hafnos elecha ko rishei aretz. That the wicked of the world should turn towards you. That's what I really want. I want them to recognize your presence, as the rest of the paragraph continues with that theme, which again is a theme which we have over and over on Rosh Hashanah. V'yikablu chulam, on the top of page 456. V'yikablu chulam es ol malchusecha. Let all of them accept the yoke of heaven. Let all of them accept your kingship. It's not only about me and the Jews. I want everybody to accept your reign and the recognition that you are king. V'simloch aleihem meheirolam, that you shall reign upon them forever. Okay, that's again the theme which we've just seen. I don't want to go all through all the verses. I want to let's just finish up with a few more things. 458, we have Zichronos. Here we have the idea of remembrance. Let's go through the first and last line in this paragraph. Ata zocher ma'asei olam. You remember the deeds done in the universe, and you recall all the creatures fashioned since earliest times. Here is the concept in which you recognize that everything is remembered. You remember everything. And what happens as we begin to go through the concept that you remember everything, that everything is revealed before you, that there's nothing that's lost or forgotten. As we say that over and over again throughout this paragraph, that concludes this first paragraph with the very last line in that first paragraph. Zehayom tchilas ma'asecha. This is the first day. This is the day that you created the world. Ki chok li Yisrael hu mishpat le'elokei Yaakov. A decree for Israel, a judgment day for the God of Jacob. And here we begin to bring in that concept of, since this is the day that you created the world, and it's the day that you remember everything, well, on the day that you created everything, and you're going to recall it, it's going to be a day of judgment. And here we bring into that concept the next phrase, Al Medinos Boyeyamar, and all of the different nations, which ones will be for the sword, which ones will be for peace, which one will be hungry, which one will be satisfied, and all of mankind will also be remembered, as we say in the bottom paragraph. Just point out one phrase on the third to last line on the page. Ki zecher kol hayitzur lefanecha ba. For when the remembrance, for everyone's deed comes before you, ma'ase ish ufekudaso. That phrase is a beautiful phrase. The actions of man, ufekudaso, and his mission. So that when our deeds come before God, when everything is remembered and everything is recalled, but it's in a context of what was that person's mission? What were the tools they were given? What were the skills? What were the talents? All of that is taken into account when God remembers us and the things that we've done come before Him. It's not just in a vacuum, but it's ma'ase ish ufekuda. So the thoughts of man, the deeds of man, and his mission, our accomplishment. What's that?
It's not intention.
I mean,
like,
it's not. Is that what it also means, like the intention, or?
That's the next phrase. Va'alilos mitzvot. The next phrase says the accomplishments of man's activity, man's thoughts and schemes. Machshavos adam v'tachpulosav. We might do something really nice, and from the outside, a person would say, "Wow, look what they did!" But we know why it is that we did that. We knew what ulterior motive we really had, what we wanted to accomplish, whether or not because we needed something, because we wanted somebody to think something of us. Says the Machzor, it all comes before him. Our mission, our thoughts, our schemes, all and the motives behind man's deeds. All of those things are included in the recollection, the remembrance that we have before God. It's all part of the program. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Right? Ashrei ish. Then what do we say after that phrase? Like, what a powerful phrase it is, right? All of your thoughts, your schemes, your intentions. Ashrei ish. Asher lo yishkochecha. Praiseworthy is the man who doesn't forget you. Then when we're going through life and we're doing all of these things, praiseworthy is the one who remembers, who knows that in Rosh Hashanah, all of those schemes, all of those plans, all of those intentions, they're all going to be there. And life would be different if we would remember that. If we would remember you as we go through life. Ashrei ish, asher lo yishkochecha. Praiseworthy is the man who will not forget you. Okay. I feel like I should let you go. Shofars you can read through. They're just describing the blast of the shofar. That all focuses on when you will be revealed at the end of the days, which is what we've been yearning for. You will be revealed with that shofar blast, with the call to arms, so to speak, the call to action. As we hear that shofar, that will be many, many psukim that we quote there. All discuss the idea of that. It'll be through that shofar blast that you will be recalled. Okay, you know, there's obviously more than the Machzor, but I think I've given you plenty what to chew on. I go over it. The more you read through it before Rosh Hashanah, the better it is. But the themes come out so clear from Rosh Hashanah, the idea of Malchus, the idea of kingship, the idea of yearning for the world recognition of you as a king. And yeah, it happens to be a judgment day. But my task is to focus on the fact that you are king, and I yearn for you to be king. And that's what I want to see for the entire day. I wish you all a great Yontiv, a day of success as we stand on this day and proclaim Hashem King Melech Malchuso Vakol Mashallah. Have a great Yontiv.
So it is a roller coaster day.
I don't know how else to, you know, maybe some people's tables are better than mine in which they're focused and they're solemn, but you know, it's Yontif, right? It is a Yontif. The bottom line, it's a chag. It's a day in which we have a meal. It's not Yom Kippur. If we wanted Yom Kippur, we would have had 3 days of Yom Kippur. It's a day, you know. Right? But it's not. It's a day of Yontif. I want you, like, the way that I've seen it written in this svarim is on the day that the king says you're proclaiming me as king, you make me a feast. Don't declare me as king and walk around all sad and solemn faced and depressed. If you're joyous that I'm your king, Zamru Lelokim Zameir, the paragraph, the parak of Tehillim that we say, sing in song. You're declaring the God king of the world. Are you not going to make a banquet? You're not going to make a feast? I want you to have a feast, he says. Make me a Yontif meal. And it's a day of judgment, and it's a Yontif. And we're declaring him king. And that's frightening, and it's a day of joy. And it's the way that it is. The way that it is. It's 2 days. Because the Gemara said it's only one day in the Torah, but the problem is because it is the first day of the month, it's the only Yontif that's the first day of the month, the people who lived outside of you, even in Yerushalayim themselves, didn't know which day was Rosh Hashanah. So they would keep 2 days. So even this is the only day that even in Eretz Yisrael they keep 2 days. This year in Eretz Yisrael, for example, is a 3-day Yontif. They don't know from that. That's like they're totally flipping out. They don't know how to handle that. They don't know refrigerators. They're like, how do you cook? What do you do? That's impossible. But, yeah.
Tell me something. Why do some people have the custom of blowing the shofar inside of Shemona Esrei, and we do it afterwards?
So, Chazal, this is discussed in the Gemara already. How many shofar, we didn't talk about that at all today, how many shofar blasts you have to hear? So the Chazal established 2 times that we blow the shofar. One during before Musaf, and then one during Musaf. So the original way that it seems to have been done is that during each one of those 3 sections of kingship and Zechronis, it would be blown during those sections. eventually it became the custom in many, many places where during the silent Shemona Esrei they wouldn't do it. I'm not sure if it was just because it was hard to coordinate and they do it now. We now do it during the three sections, but during the Chazan's repetition. But there are still some communities that actually do it. Sfarim do it more than Ashkenaz. And the Ashkenazi tradition has much more moved to doing it only during the Chazan's repetition. But in many Sephardish communities, they still do it during the silent Shemona Esrei.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.